The views and opinions of today's broadcast are not necessarily the views and opinions of the TJRS Radio Network. Thank you for being a loyal listener and enjoy the show.
Online radio at its best. You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still like dust, I'll rise.
Good morning, and welcome to the serious side of the J. Ryle Show, the show where we discuss politics, social issues affecting people of color, and every now and then a little comedy as well. Now here's your host, J. Ryle.
Thank you so much for the wonderful introduction, and good morning. Today is August 4th, 2024. Here are the topics that will be discussed on this week's edition of the Serious Side of J. Ryle Show.
Mr. President, we so appreciate you giving us an hour of your time. I want to start by addressing the elephant in the room, sir. A lot of people did not think it was appropriate for you to be here today. You have pushed false claims about some of your rivals, from Nikki Haley to former President Barack Obama, saying that they were not born in the United States, which is not true. You have told four congresswomen of color who were American citizens to go back to where they came from. You have used words like animal and rabid to describe black district attorneys. You've attacked black journalists, calling them a loser, saying the questions that they ask are, quote, stupid and racist. You've had dinner with a white supremacist at your Mar-a-Lago resort. So my question, sir, now that you are asking black supporters to vote for you, why should black voters trust you after you have used language like that?
Well, first of all, I don't think I've ever been asked a question so in such a horrible manner, the first question. You don't even say, hello, how are you? Are you with ABC? Because I think they're a fake news network, a terrible network. I'd like to congratulate Vladimir Putin for having made yet another great deal. Did you see the deal we made? Now look, we want to get people in. You know, we got 59 hostages. I never paid anything.
From the start of his presidency, Donald Trump heaped praise on Egyptian President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi, a man who just a few years earlier led the country's military to overthrow the democratically elected president from power. During one G7 summit trip, he even referred to Sisi as his, quote, favorite dictator.
Well, Donald. Debate stage. Because as the saying goes, if you got something to say,
the Department of Justice and a Springfield church will host a community healing and listening session, giving friends and neighbors a chance to mourn the loss of Sonia Massey.
The Springfield mother was shot to death by a now fired sheriff's deputy after she called 911 for help. Meanwhile, our Dave Savini has uncovered new details about that officer's past. And Dave, there are serious questions about why he was hired multiple times.
Erica and Joe, CBS News has uncovered notes from one of Grayson's former police chiefs during a reference check for his next police job. It was a warning of the trouble Grayson had already caused, and it doesn't stop there.
Online radio at its best.
Now, let us pray.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for your constant love every day. Lord God Almighty, name above all names, your power is unlimited and your strength has no end. You have said that faith as small as a mustard seed can move mountains. I pray that you amaze me with your miraculous power when I face every mountain in my life. I pray thee, O Lord, that you look down from above and bless me. Let your grace and favor speak every day in my life. Give me the strength not to depend on my own understanding, but on your living word. Bless me with good health, long life, and prosperity. Dear God, You know all that is in my heart and mind. You are familiar with each thought and desire. I pray you intervene in every situation concerning my life. Your word says in Jeremiah 17:7-8, that blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. I pray and command your word to be fulfilled in my life. Make me like the tree planted by the waters. Beautify my life every day. Make my life a living testimony for others to see your glory. I pray for instant daily miracles that will turn the supposed disadvantages in my life into advantages. O Lord, show me that you are the God of impossibilities. Grant me impossible miracles daily in Jesus' name. Amen.
is our calling number. 347-850-1272 is the calling number. Welcome into the Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show, which happens every Sunday right here on the JRS Radio Network online radio. And it's best, of course, I am J. Ryle. And I never share this stage by myself, my brother from another mother, the one and only Mr. L to the E to the S is in the house this morning. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning to you, and good morning, Nessa, good morning, Mama B, good morning, Kathleen, and happy birthday, Kathleen, good morning, Mary Music, good morning, Rudy Bailey, good morning, little sister, and good morning, my brother Hulk, and good morning, my brother Jerome.
The number is 347-850-1272, 1272. So listen, Vanessa is actually traveling abroad, but she plans to call in. That's how important this election season is, and you know, everybody's trying to step up and do what they need to do. But I tell you what, just to start off, the Olympics, man, Sha'Carri Richardson did not win the gold. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it's kind of disappointing, man. I was just like, wow. I was rooting for her. Because, man, this girl has been through so much. But, hey, man, you never count Sha'Carri Richardson out. I never will count her out, man. Never.
Yeah, but she was supposed to win the gold.
Okay. She was supposed to win it. Okay. She didn't win it. She was supposed to win it. She didn't win it. Okay. I'm never going to count her out. That's what I'm going to say about that. I still stand behind her. I still stand behind this young woman because of what she's been through and who she is. So, yeah, you're not going to get me to say nothing bad about Sha'Carri Richardson. Nothing.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, bro, I'm not trying to get you to say anything bad about it. I'm just trying to make sure that we, you know, call it what it is. And man, I tell you what. Have you been watching the Olympics? I haven't really been watching. I watched it last night for the first time, but when I tuned in, I was watching swimming, and I haven't really seen any of the main events. Have you been watching any of the Olympics at all?
Yeah, I watched it here and there, you know, in and out, you know, but not really like I should be watching it, but I do watch it.
You know, another thing, too, is people are talking about Snoop Dogg. I haven't seen him. I guess you have to pay for Peacock to be able to experience the Snoop Dogg experience. Him, Kevin Hart, I think. What's the guy's name? Keenan.
The guy's name is there, too. Yeah.
You know what, man? I guess for me, this is what I don't get. And maybe it's just me, you know, about some of the most popular people that are in our society today. Snoop Dogg, you know, Jay-Z, you know, Charlamagne Tha God, you know, all these guys at some point dealt drugs and were criminals. Now they're billionaires and millionaires, and I guess I shouldn't be a hater, And I don't think I'm being a hater, but it's like, God dang it. You do all these things, and you get rewarded by being filthy rich for the rest of your days. But I guess redemption is redemption. So if you're a Christian, if they turn their lives around, you know, I guess we just need to say kudos. And for me, sometimes it's hard because, you know, presidential candidates go on the Breakfast Club and talk to Charlamagne. Oh, Charlamagne the God has endorsed somebody. Who gives a rat's ass with who he endorses? But for some odd reason, he is this guy. I'm like, what?
Hey, man, look. This guy is, you know, that's what they are. That's what they deal with. That's what they like. These are the people that, you know, this is who they look up to. I mean, we had the people we looked up to, too. Because, you know, Michael Jordan had went over there and was doing his thing. Well, what would you do? Would you still
Whoa. You compared apples and oranges. I'm talking about guys Go ahead.
Right. These are people who are popular with their generation. Michael Jordan was popular with our generation.
Yeah, but he didn't sell drugs. He wasn't a dope. He wasn't a gangster. He didn't do any of that stuff. That's what I'm specifically talking about.
Okay. But, okay, Charles Barkley's your man. He was beating people up back in the day, wasn't he?
Yeah, but you know what, though? Charles Barkley, I don't count that. Because you know why? Because fans were... Charles Barkley, like, look. No. Listen. If you're in public, you know, you need to stop. Because I guarantee you right now, if somebody came at you crazy in public, you throwing hands. I mean, you're not going to sit here and take no crap off nobody. So I don't blame Charles for that.
Depending on what stage I am in my life. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
so
he was young then.
You could tell, what about the rest of these NBA players? I mean, you know they came at them crazy. You know people came at all these other NBA crazy. Charles Barkley, what about in the Olympics when he hit that guy with the elbow and caused the uproar and
kind
of sent his ass home?
Let's
make excuses to him, but not to everybody else. Let's make excuses to Charles Barkley. Let's make excuses to him because he's Charles Barkley.
I'm not making an excuse for him. I'm saying that he did not break the damn
law. Yeah, but.
Oh, give me somebody who broke the law. You're not giving me anybody that broke the law. You're not.
Okay, we got a guy that was the president. His father broke the law Kennedy. Kennedy.
What about Kennedy?
His father was his father was a bootlegger. He broke the law. He ran alcohol.
His father wasn't president of the United States.
But the bottom line is, Charles Barkley did the same thing.
Oh,
he did all kinds of
Charles Barkley. Did Charles Barkley break the law? No, he did not.
Yes, he did. If you said he breaks the law, is assault breaking the law?
Mr.
Elliott, you can't hit somebody.
You know what? I'm
going
to go because, see, you're playing crazy. You're playing crazy because at the end
you
of the day, Charles Barkley, did exactly what you would do. You're not going to sit here and let nobody talk crazy to you and call you names in public.
Did he get arrested for it?
Unless you're a punk.
He talked crazy to him, and Charles Barkley, what did he do? He attacked him. Did he get arrested for assault?
And let me tell you something. I'll give you that. But guess what? I'm going to call you a punk because there's no damn way you would do that. So stop it. If you were you're doing this.
You
stop.
You just said did he break the law? Did he break the law? You damn right he did.
I'm moving on.
You're playing crazy.
Well,
you don't like to get in your favor.
It ain't, Mr. Elias, what you're doing is you're comparing two different situations. You're not going to sit there and take no crap off nobody. And so you sit there and talk all that trash you want to our listeners. If you were in a bar and people were calling you the N-word and was talking crap to you and getting in your face, what you going to do? Turn the other cheek? Maybe you would. I would.
If I got that money in the bank, I'm going to walk out.
Hall of Fame game this past weekend, very touching moment. Steve McMichael, I did not know he was this sick. I didn't know that this was going on with him.
He's in a bad way.
I did not know. He accepted his Hall of Fame. His bust was unveiled apparently in his room, his hospital room. It was hard to watch him. I mean, I did not know. What does he have? What's going on with him? Is he back? I think he's what? ALS?
ALS, yes.
My cousin passed away from that. Wow.
Those are too many concussions, man. So, yeah. Which got a lot of the football players, which affected a lot of the football players, and you know, he's been in a bad way for they do all kind of benefits for him to keep his medicals going, because at one point in time NFL wasn't doing nothing for these players, so they do a lot of benefits for him. Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. You know, Chris Berman was there, and he read a statement, and it said, "I do not want ALS to be my legacy. What I did on the field, that's my legacy. Push myself to the limit further than anybody else could." Those were the words from Steve Michaels. I mean, it was just hard to watch McMichael. But anyway, what do you say? My cousin had ALS, and to watch her just go from this vibrant, healthy young lady to her ultimate demise was hard. It was really, really, really hard to watch. And for this man, I thought Steve McMichael dabbed in the WWF at some point after he had retired from football, if I'm not mistaken. This big man with these golden locks, and now he's just, oh my God, it was hard to watch. All right,
I had a brother who had ALS as well. And he passed from, he was a pro football player. So, yeah. Right. Wayne Davis was his name. It was a debilitating thing to see.
Yeah, it's hard to watch. And Julius Peppers was a part of that class, and he actually acknowledged the GOAT Michael Jordan, said the reason why he went to Chapel Hill was because of Mike. So even though it's a different sport, you can have influence on people. And I tell folks all the time, when you say stuff, make sure you say things and look at it from the point of view as if you're saying it and someone is hearing it for the first time, because you never know what type of impact you will have on a person's life. Okay, we have a lot to get into. It's time to wrap this up. It's time for an NPR News update, and afterwards we'll get into the meat and potatoes of the show. 347-850-1272.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Israeli strikes in Gaza and a Palestinian stabbing in Israel have claimed lives as Israel braces for a potential major attack from Iran and militant groups in the region following the assassination of two top militant leaders. NPR's Daniel Estrin is in Tel Aviv.
The war in Gaza has continued for nearly 10 months. Today alone, a civil defense group in Gaza said more than a dozen people were killed in Israeli strikes, including one that killed at least four people in a tent camp for displaced people. Israel said it was targeting a militant and that the strike appeared to cause secondary explosions, which it said may mean there was weaponry there. In a town near Tel Aviv, Israeli police say a Palestinian man from the occupied West Bank stabbed and killed two civilians. The recent killings of top militants in the region has Israel preparing for Iran's vowed retaliation. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said Israel is in a multi-front war against Iran and its proxies. Daniel Estrin, NPR News, Tel Aviv.
The U.S. Embassy in Lebanon is urging Americans to book any available ticket to leave the country. The embassy issued a statement this weekend amid mounting concerns about a wider regional war in the Middle East. Other countries have issued similar warnings. Former President Donald Trump rallied supporters in Georgia last night.
Thank you to Atlanta. I'm thrilled to be back in the great state of Georgia. I love Georgia. With thousands of proud, hardworking Americans.
Trump speaking there at Georgia State University in Atlanta, testing lines of attack against his likely Democratic opponent for the presidency, Kamala Harris, just days after she spoke at the same venue. Harris is in Washington this weekend. She's reportedly scheduled to meet with Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro and Minnesota Governor Tim Walz today. The two are among the top contenders to join the Democratic ticket as her running mate. Tropical storm Debbie strengthening over the warm waters of the Gulf of Mexico, expected to make landfall by tomorrow as a hurricane. NPR's Amy Held reports the governors of Florida and Georgia have declared states of emergency.
The first threat is in the form of storm surge, where the storm's winds could push up to 10 feet of ocean water onto parts of the Florida Gulf Coast. Thousands of people have been told to evacuate, some in the same Big Bend area where Hurricane Idalia did major damage 1 year ago, prompting dozens of water rescues. That's a scenario officials are hoping to avoid repeating. Later in the week, Debbie is forecast to weaken as it moves into Georgia and South Carolina, but also to slow down, potentially dropping rain for days.
The ground will be overwhelmed and everything will start flooding.
Forecaster David Roth said local amounts could approach 30 inches.
For South Carolina, that could be a record for the state.
Climate change is making dangerous storms more common. Amy Held, NPR News.
And you're listening to NPR News.
Today, not tomorrow, not next week, today is the day I hope you will donate to support our movement, because the truth is, time is running out. We're in the final lap of this race, and Election Day will be here before you and I know it. So I need you to act now so your donation can have the greatest impact. The stakes in this election could not be higher, and we cannot throw up our hands when we must roll up our sleeves. Let's get to work.
Online radio at its best.
Some of your own supporters, including Republicans on Capitol Hill, have labeled Vice President Kamala Harris, who is the first Black and Asian American woman to serve as vice president and be on a major party ticket, as a DEI hire. Is that acceptable language to you? And will you tell those Republicans and those supporters to stop it?
How do you define DEI? Go ahead. How do you define
diversity, equity, and inclusion?
Okay, yeah, go ahead. Is that what your definition?
That is.
Give me a definition then. Would you give me a definition?
DEI.
Give me a definition.
Sir, I'm asking you a question.
No, you
very
have to define
question.
It. Define it for me, if you
will. I just defined it, sir. Do you believe that Vice President Kamala Harris is only on the ticket because she is a Black woman?
Well, I can say no. I think it's maybe a little bit different. So, I've known her a long time indirectly, not directly, very much. And she was always of Indian heritage, and she was only promoting Indian heritage. I didn't know she was Black until a number of years ago when she happened to turn Black, and now she wants to be known as Black. So I don't know, is she Indian or is she Black?
She has always
but
identified
you know
as a Black woman.
I respect
she went to
either
black
one.
College.
I respect either one, but she obviously doesn't.
3 hours you listen to the serious side of the Jay Rouse Show. That was Donald Trump. He met with the National Association of Black Journalists this past week and made a complete ass out of himself. Kudos to Rachel. God dang it, I forgot her name. I was going to say Rachel Maddow.
Scott.
There we go. Made an ass out of him. She went straight to him. She didn't allow him to do what most journalists do, allow him to tell lies and spew lies. Harris Faulkner was on the stage as well. She, I'm not sure, you know, she's from Fox. She's the Black person that's from Fox. that was on the panel, and I'm not going to say she gave him a lot of the soft questions, but she did, you know, she wasn't coming at him like Rachel Scott was. You know, Mr. Elias, there were a lot of black journalists who did not want him to appear in front of that crowd, didn't want to give him the platform, so to speak. First of all, do you agree with that? And second of all, what do you think? Give me your thoughts on his overall performance at the NABJ.
Okay, I think he should have appeared there. I agree wholeheartedly that he should have appeared there because, you know, certain man, you expose him for who he is and what he is. Because you know damn well if he got in front of that many black folks, he's going to say some stupid crap. So let him say the most stupidest stuff. It's a commercial for Kamala Harris to put out there because he said some of the dumbest crap he could have ever said in that time frame. So yes, I think he should have been there. You call him out. You put him on the stage. You don't treat him any differently than you would anybody else. They invite all the other candidates there. If you're running for president, they usually invite you there and they grill you. So no different. Yeah, get him there. Let his ass become stupid as he is. Now, his overall performance, if I was to give him a grade, it'd be F minus, 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 because he is a dumbass. He is the dumbest person in the history of the United States because he said, I don't know if she turned black. Well, if she turned black when she came out the womb, dumbass, because your ancestors dictated if you get this amount of percentage and you black, you're a black person. So guess what? She's a black person. She came out the womb black. She's identified as black for the long time because she went to HBCU. She pledged the first historically black sorority, Alpha Kappa Alpha. So yeah, you sound dumb, dude. You really sound really dumb. Thank God for that one. Thank God they invited him. I do.
Well, and see, that's the reason why, you know, because sometimes I get pushback from people on this show saying that we talk about Trump too much. And we don't talk about it. What we try to do is expose him for who he – well, but see, now you're contradicting yourself. Because the bottom line is that we expose – well, if you let me finish, I will tell you how. The bottom line is expose this guy for what he is. We're not going to sit here and not acknowledge some of the nonsense that this fool says. And at the end of the day, like you said, he made a complete ass out of himself on that stage. And you know the reason why he's doing this? He's doing this because they have nothing to fight with. Nothing. So he goes in front of black journalists, and he is in the very first, and if you heard the beginning of the show, folks, the very first question that she asked him, he comes out, well, you were such a rude, you didn't even say hello, good morning. Well, she shook his hand before he sat down. Then he went on to talk about how they were 35 minutes late getting started and all this. He's a clown. And at the end of the day,
why they were 35 minutes late, right? You know why,
They said there were sound issues, but maybe it sounds like you know something else.
They said he refused to take the stage because he didn't want to be fact-checked in real time.
See, I didn't see those reports.
It was on watching MSNBC all day long. It was on MSNBC that he refused to be fact-checked in real time. He refused to take the stage until they said they would not fact-check him in real time.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Didn't know that. That's crazy. Did not know that. I didn't see that. Well, I mean, would you, if you lie, you know what? I say this all the time. If he's talking, he's lying. And that's what happens. If he's talking, he is lying. And so at the end of the day, you know, what we saw and what we heard is same old Trump. And people can sit here and say what they want to say. And I want folks to really think about what we're talking about here. The reason why he is running president is because he does not want to go to jail. Period. Don't think he's trying to save America. Our country is in a hellhole. All the numbers say the complete opposite. But he keeps peddling this nonsense because these people who are not going to take the additional steps to go educate themselves, they're going to listen to the word of a convicted felon who has been legally responsible for rape, right? This guy who has Trump University, where he was scamming people out of money, you know, and something else that we just found out, and we're going to talk about that a little later in the show. But this guy, this dude, this is the dude that these crazy-ass freaking people who have no type of common sense will follow him to the end of the earth. So don't forget this, folks. He's running because he does not want to go to jail. Period. That's it. No more need to
say. A lot of this he brought on himself. Yeah, he not did the January 6th thing or all this other stuff, or with the papers that he had in Mar-a-Lago, which they threw out. He wouldn't be going through any of these things. He wouldn't had he not brought this stuff on himself, because he's such an egotistical maniac that he said that he won the election, and he did not win the election. It was proven that he was not, that he didn't win the election. It was proven by a guy he hired. He paid $700,000 to this guy, and the guy proved that he did not win the election, that it was enough. It was no votes out there, enough the votes to overturn the election. And it's a book out there that this guy wrote that Trump hired and paid him all this money. The guy's like, nah, you lost, dog. Sorry. You lost.
Well, Michael Jackson made a song about it. I can't help it. If I wanted to, I couldn't help it. Even if I could. He can't help himself. He can't help himself. He is who he is. And the bottom line is people need to understand that. He cannot help himself. Period. But he goes in front of these journalists, and I agree. You know, he should have been put on the stage. They say, yeah, we got his ass now. Let's put him in front of some real folks. Let's not let him get away with that nonsense. Let's put him in front of some folks who's going to challenge him. And Rachel Scott, boy, she came straight at him. You know.
Yes, yeah, she did.
He probably didn't even know what the hell DEI was.
I'm surprised she didn't say, did not earn it. Like they like the Republicans. That's Republicans' talking point. Did not earn it.
What?
That's what they usually say. That I'm surprised that he didn't come out and say did not earn it. Did not earn it. That's what DEI stands for. That's what the Republican Party.
Oh, for the Republican. Oh, okay, right. Oh, wow.
Yes. Did not earn it. Did not earn it. Yep.
That's real cute. It did not earn it. Oh, wow. Well, he made an ass out of himself, and I'm glad that he appeared. And so for all the black journalists out there, because a lot of people felt the reason why Donald Trump won in 2016 is because he received a lot of publicity. And a lot of media outlets have come along and they have agreed with that assessment. Because when he started off, his campaign didn't have a whole lot of money in 2016. But every time he would say something stupid, people would stick a camera in his face. And he got more and more exposed to the really crazies in this country. Oh, my God, we have a new dear leader. And they jumped in, you know, with both feet. So I'm glad they embarrassed the hell out of his ass. I'm glad he jumped on stage. And at the end of the day, it is what it is. So for all you black journalists who did not want him to be on the stage, you know, sorry. It was the right move to make. 347-850-1272. It looks like the smartest man in the world has darkened our door. Let's bring him in, Mr. Jerome Esprit. All right, Jerome, man, talk to us.
Wow.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about, Mr. Elias? That's the saying that people
say.
What are you talking about? Shut the hell up, man. So, Jerome, good morning. How are you?
What's going on, people?
I don't like him, Jerome, but I know he's your boy. I don't like him.
The feeling is mutual.
Well, I am so happy. Like that.
And like you,
all
my
right,
favorite
Jerome.
Person, you black bastard.
I feel like I missed something. What happened? What did I miss?
Well, you know what? I'm going to remain professional because, okay, you know, he takes things into the trash. So let me just get back up on my perch, be the moderator of the show like I'm supposed to be, and be professional and ignore his childish antics. All right, Mr. Jerome Spree.
Yes, sir.
Give me your comments. We're talking about appeared in front of the NABJ this past week, and they went straight at him. Now, Mr. LES put some news out there that I was not aware of, because one of the things that Trump talked about was the fact that they started late, but Mr. LES is saying that the reason why they started late was because he didn't want to go on stage. He is a Donald Trump because he did not want to be fact-checked in real time. I never heard that report, but Mr. LES is breaking news, and he knows that this platform is, even though we're not ABC, NBC, or CBS, we do take pride in the information that we put out to our people. So if Mr. LES is saying that that's what they said, then I'm just going to go with it. So now, give me your thoughts on his appearance. There were journalists who felt that he should not have had that stage. Your thoughts on that? Do you think he should have had the stage? And then just give me your overall thoughts on his appearance in front of the NABJ.
Yeah, I know there was like a lot of mixed opinions on that, because in conversations that I had over the last few days, that there are people who said, oh, they should have been there and they should have treated him nicer kind of thing. And I disagree. You know, I think that at some point black people need to cut the cord. And I know the Journalists Association, I was a part of it for a while. I know they have this standing invitation to people who are running for office, right? Because they're journalists and they cover them, so they want them to ask some pointed questions. But this guy is such a demigod. Like, he's a, dotard. Like, he's crazy. And I think that when you give crazy platforms, you give them an opportunity to smooth something out. So when the moderator refused to take a picture with him, you know, someone said, oh, she should have, if you're going to invite somebody to your house, you should extend courtesy to them. And I say, no, you should not. He was going to use it for a photo op. And black people have always had this problem dealing with general societal things and saying, well, we need to be at the table. Even though they're using you at the table, you need to still be there. This is always going to be a fight in our community. But, I don't think that. I don't think they should have treated him nicely, and I don't think, because if he's gonna lie to them, they need to blow him out the water for lying. You should not carry on to say that I need to extend the courtesy to somebody who's lying. So, you know, black folks, if you go into somebody's house and you put your feet on their table, they're going to kick you out, right? They don't say, hey, they are a guest, so you get to put your feet on my couch or on my table or something. We don't do that, and we should not extend no courtesy to somebody because we want to give the impression that we like your oppressors. So I don't agree. I agree that you don't have to invite him, but if you're going to invite him, you still need to fact check them in real time. That's the risk that he's taking about thinking that people are scared of him because he has power. So that whole concept of speaking truth to power, you want to live that life? Fine. But if you're going to do this, you might as well be authentic, because otherwise you're just enhancing the propaganda that somebody's going to use against you later. So it's a tough call. I don't believe that. I would call them out. Someone asked me to host a congressional forum before, and I said no. They're both idiots. And so you want me to act like I'm asking them reasonable questions about taxes? And they said no. We know that you're going to hold them accountable. I said that's not the point. Holding them accountable is making them seem like they're legitimate to the people in the audience, right? I'm not going to be a part of that. So sometimes you got to take a stand and say, look, we're going to expose you for who you are. If you sit in front of me and lie, I'm not going to validate you by you being in my presence and us having a conversation like it's civil. I had that. Sorry for running on stories, but I was on Clear Channel. I was on one of their Fox, well, Clear Channels is his own network, but they syndicate Fox News on there. And some candidate came on, and he wanted to be on the show with me. And I told him, no. Nope, I'm not validating you by acting like you're reasonable and we can sit there and have a reasonable conversation. No. You want to go in there and lie and do what you do, do that, and I'll come back on after. I was on before. I stepped into the control room, let them have their interview, and I came back on the show. I wouldn't do it.
Oh, wow.
Everybody has to stand for that, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you have to stand for what you stand. You have to stand on principle. And if you, you know, and that's all you have in most cases, you have to be able to stand on principle. And, you know, I mean, if you thoroughly believe in something, then you know, stand on principle. Do you. And I, you know, I applaud you for that.
If you're trusted in your community, you are validating something that is going to be hurtful to your people. So we, it's not even, it's not, that's not even opinion. That is a responsibility.
Right. Right.
I will not bring somebody in your house that steals. Or I stole from you.
That's a good point.
Because I brought them.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Way to, I'm glad you were able to, like you always do, put that in perspective. Made it simple for people to figure out. Okay. You know, it's been 23 years since September 11th. And believe it or not, there are still people who are in the court system, in the justice system, being prosecuted for those crimes, horrendous crimes against this country. So in this week's edition of In 4 Minutes or Less, something that you need to know, the Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, is saying, look, we're not allowing any of these people to have any plea deals. It's convener time in 4 Minutes or Less, something that you need to know. We'll be right back after this. Don't you go anywhere. We have a heavy, heavy lift today. We'll be right back.
Now to an eventful week in Guantanamo Bay. Just 3 days ago, the Pentagon announced a plea deal with three 9/11 defendants held there, including the alleged mastermind, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. Last night, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin pulled that deal off the table. And Pierre Sasha Pfeiffer, of course, has covered Guantanamo for years. Sasha, thanks for being with us.
You're welcome. Good morning, Scott.
A little more detail, please, on events of the week.
Yes, and first I want to note, many people are always shocked to hear that Guantanamo is still open. It was set up after the so-called war on terror, after the September 11th attacks. There are still prisoners there, still active cases. One of them is the September 11th, 9/11 case. 20 years later, still ongoing. This week was an earthquake at Guantanamo for those who cover it, because on Wednesday it was announced that three of the 9/11 defendants, including the big guy, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, we're going to plead guilty in exchange for, in KSM's case, a life sentence. It's presumed the other two would also get a life sentence. In return, the death penalty would come off the table, and they would no longer go to trial, which, by the way, it's looked increasingly unlikely that there will ever be a trial. And this was, you know, this is great news to people who felt that it had been really bogged down for years and was finally ending.
There were some strong feelings about it, though, weren't there?
Very much. Now, again, some people who realize how intractable the case has become felt like finally it's resolved. But people were very upset. Some 9/11 family members felt like they wanted to see these men put to death. They feel like a trial might bring out some secrets about 9/11 we don't already know. Some congressional members pushed back. And then all of a sudden, last night, shocking thing happened. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin puts out a short memo saying, I am withdrawing from the plea agreements. I'm also removing the person in charge of the military court who oversees 9/11 in the case, just in the 9/11 case, and basically undid the deal.
Isn't the military court part of the Defense Department that Lloyd Austin heads?
Yes, and this is what's so puzzling. The court is this complicated thing that's overseen by someone called the Convening Authority, who in theory, statutorily, has independence, does not need the Secretary of Defense's approval to make the plea deals. Yet Austin reversed it. He basically said, it's so significant a decision that I alone should make it, so I'm going to step in and reverse it. We also were told that the Biden White House had not known about this till Wednesday. So this huge, huge pushback coming from all quarters seems to have pressured Austin into reversing the deal.
And what kind of reaction has there been?
Huge. I want to play for you Brett Eagleson, who was 15 years old when his father died in the World Trade Center collapse. Brett opposes the deals, and here's what he said about the plea agreement.
We all deserve our day in court, and to do a plea deal feels like we've been betrayed. We want a trial. We want to put these individuals on a stand. We want the public to see it, and we want the media to see everything these individuals have to say.
And Scott, at the other end of the spectrum is Elizabeth Miller. She was 6 when her Staten Island firefighter dad died in the 9/11 attacks. She's been a supporter of the agreements, and here's what she said to me last night.
I'm really just feeling numb. I'm disappointed in the U.S. government. we're no closer to a death penalty conviction now than we were 13 years ago. Most families just want this to end, and this was the best way, and in my opinion, the only way that it was going to end.
But Scott, this reversal of the plea deal makes the end look even farther away. Basically, what happens now is the 9/11 case goes back to this legal slog of endless so-called pre-trial hearings, and it's unclear how they might get to trial, if ever.
NPR Sasha Pfeiffer, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Today, not tomorrow, not next week. Today is the day I hope you will donate to support our movement, because the truth is, time is running out. We're in the final lap of this race, and Election Day will be here before you and I know it. So I need you to act now so your donation can have the greatest impact. The stakes in this election could not be higher, and we cannot throw up our hands when we must roll up our sleeves. Let's get to work.
Online radio at its best.
I'd like to congratulate Vladimir Putin for having made yet another great deal. Did you see the deal we made? Now, look, we want to get people in. You know, we got 59 hostages. I never paid anything. They released some of the greatest killers anywhere in the world, some of the most evil killers they got, and we got our people back. But, boy, we make some horrible, horrible deals, and it's nice to say we got them back. But does that set a bad precedent? You have a candidate who is fake, fake, fake.
Welcome back in. 347-850-1272. It's 46 minutes after the hour, 14 minutes before the top of the hour. And like I said during the last segment, if Donald Trump is talking, he is lying. He's made deals that are very similar during his administration. But once again, the Pied Piper of lying continues to lie in front of his faithful followers. So this past week, unless you've been living under a rock, the U.S. made a huge prisoner swap deal with Russia, bringing home some Americans who had been in, you know, falsely in prison. You know, some people saying that maybe the U.S. needs to take a look at this policy. Now, I heard someone tell me, they said, well, Jay, I thought the U.S., you know, don't negotiate with terrorists. Well, you know, Russia technically they're not a terrorist. They're just a rogue nation, and they happen to be, you know, one of our arch enemies. However, because of the alliance that the U.S. has formed with other countries, we were able to pull this deal off. And so let me start with you, Jerome. Do you think it was a good idea for the U.S. to make this deal, to bring these people home, releasing some folks who were convicted of cyber terrorism and, you know, and the one guy that was an assassin killing people in Moscow? Vladimir Putin really wanted that guy back. So what do you think about the deal, man? Did it make sense? And, you know, just give me your thoughts.
Oh,
I promise you Jerome's here. Oh, yeah, there he is.
Yes, Jerome is here. You know, I kind of have a – I don't know all the other people who they released and what their backgrounds were. So – you know, this is always a game of espionage and, you know, what spies we have over there and what spies they have over here. So that's always a interesting thing when you have them releasing hostages, because I don't know why everybody thinks the United States is, like, always above board. We do have people who are spies who are, you know, act as a journalist or CIA agents who is, you know, doing laundry or something over there. Like, we have that. And so whatever is going on in the background, I can't really tell. So I don't really have an opinion on what they got. But we always make those guys seem worse than they are and our guys seem better than they are. So propaganda always kicks in when it comes to hostage release stuff, you know.
Yeah.
So, I can't tell.
Yeah, well, but we can definitely say that the folks that they arrested, you know, for example, the Washington Post reporter, he's a journalist. And so they, you know, they said he created espionage. You know, it's trumped up charges. They had Brittany Griner over there. And what we're seeing, Mr. Elias, and I think this is the reason why people are criticizing the U.S. on some of these moves, is the fact that, you know, what's going to stop Russia from doing this, right? to continue to do this. If something is working, why not continue to do it? They have many people who are imprisoned all over the country. And so, you know, hey, if you want to get them freed, all we have to do is grab an American, you know, throw some bogus charges on them, and then the U.S. at some point will come knocking on our door and say, let's bring them back and let's make a deal. And I think that's where a lot of people are like, okay, how do you stop this behavior? Your thoughts, Mr. Elliott?
I think we ought to clean house first. Hell, start at home first. How many people are in jail in the United States on bogus charges? So, you know, that's like throwing a stone and hiding your hand. So the bottom line is it was a good deal for those people that were in jail for being over there bogus. So, hey, man, look, you know, any time that the Biden administration does something, they're going to criticize. No matter what.
Right.
Did Trump say, oh, it's great that we got these Americans back? No, but the first thing out of his mouth was, yeah, what a great thing Vladimir Putin did. And this is the person you're going to vote for? When he brags on somebody that's a damn dictator? Get out of here, man. You sound ridiculous. You sound like you don't pay attention to things. And like I said, the bottom line is, we're doing the same thing in America. You know how many cities are paying millions of dollars to people that they have falsely imprisoned, and they know that they falsely imprisoned these people. So,
yeah, but the difference
all the way around the world.
But the difference, Mr. Elliott, is that you're dealing with different states. You know, we know this. This is the reason why we have problems with abortion, you know, because you have states that have jurisdictions, and it's just a complicated situation. The U.S. government just can't overall say, okay, for example, if the U.S. had that type of power at the federal level, we would not have abortion. So that's going to always be a problem within the continental United States, because all these different states have executives that are in charge. And in most cases, they're Republicans. So you know how this nonsense is. It's the way it works here.
Exactly. So let's start at home first and clean that up first. For all those people that are sitting there saying, are they? I know in Chicago, right across the way, they are paying out millions and millions of dollars for this police officer who lives in Phoenix, Arizona right now, who illegally arrested, I don't know, maybe 15, 20 young men. So... yeah, dude.
Okay.
Yeah, you need to start at home first and then work your way out. So for those people who are throwing stones talking about how does it work over there, it's working in the United States.
No, go ahead. You thought? Oh, I didn't know you were done. Let's bring Vanessa in. Vanessa is abroad. We said she's going to check in. Vanessa, thank you so much for being here, big sis. Good morning. Hope you're enjoying wherever you are. You never know. Vanessa is our Warriors Waldo type person. Never know where she is. So, Vanessa, you actually sent a text on your thoughts, but you can go ahead and speak them verbally, your thoughts on this particular topic with these people. You're saying that they should have left them over there. Maybe she's on mute. I don't agree with that.
Okay, I'm here. I did not say that they should have left them there. I said they should stay from over there. And if I mistyped, sorry. But,
okay, I misread it. And I agree with that.
So you know what? One of them was a newspaper reporter or something, and they got him falsely accused and had him over there. So I would like to do kudos to that newspaper that he worked for, because they continually paid the salary to his family while he was locked up, because he was on business. He was working, and they used that as an excuse to lock him up. One of the people is still in Germany. They couldn't even bring him back to the United States because he was so sick that they flew his family to Germany, and that's where he is. One of the other people, it was four of them, so one of the other people, and I don't know all of them, he...
I thought there were 16.
No, 16 people?
Okay. Yeah, I thought there were more. Go ahead.
I'm talking about that they just brought home.
Okay.
They showed three on camera, but one is in Germany because he was too sick to get on the plane, so they flew his family to Germany. So maybe what y'all, I don't know, I just came in on the conversation. One of the people that was released in order to get those people back on United States soil came from Germany. From what I understand, one of the people that was locked up in the United States, he shot somebody in a park, a public park, and so that's why they locked him up. Now, to me, I do understand. And then the KGB guy who was acting like he was a regular person, but he actually was a spy, I'm sure just like Jerome said, we got them over there, you know, and they're United States people, and they're acting like they're regular people, and they're spies. So, I mean, it's on both sides. I do commend Biden and Harris because they've been working on this since Joyner came home. So this isn't something that just popped up and they started doing it. They've been working on that. And he wants to get those people, as many of them as he can, home before he gets out of office, because God forbid Trump gets in the office, that liar who said I could have got them home without giving them anybody, who was in office for 4 years, and one man had been over there for, what, 2018? He ain't bring him home. One of them been there since 2018, the one who had lost all that weight. He ain't bring him home. Trump could have brought him home, and he didn't. So why are you going to stand back and say, I could have got them all home and not gave them anybody? He'll lie. That's the reason why Putin went ahead and did that deal, because Putin is scared that Trump is not going to get in office. Do y'all hear me? So
yes.
I commend them for going ahead doing what he did, because he's trying to leave on a positive note. Yes, Les, they should start at home, but since they didn't, those are our people. They're still United States people, and they still need to be at home with their families. And they were over there working. They were working. That reporter list for the newspaper was working. So I don't blame them for trying to get some people home, because some of them was just working. Now, that fool who went back over there, and they told him not to go back over there, and he went back anyway, I would revoke his passport where he could never go back over there. And
But he's a Russian. I mean, that's where he's from. He's an activist fighting Putin.
Okay. Well, I wouldn't be trying to get him back home if something happens to him again. But I just like when COVID came and they said, do not go to China, do not go here, do not go there, all of that. I would put out a news thing just like somebody did on NBC the other day on the ship. I was looking at it, and he said, they haven't said it, but I'm going to say it. Y'all need to stay from over there. Okay, I think that Biden needs to do the same thing.
Well, they
I think
have.
He needs to make it. Have they in the last couple of days?
Yeah. So what people don't do, and you know, and a lot of people don't do this, and I did it when I used to travel abroad. You need to go to the State Department and go to their website. They have countries listed that you should not go to. They strongly recommend that you don't go to.
Okay, but everybody know to look that up. As much as I travel, and I just came from four different places, countries, and so, well, it might be, but somebody needs to open their mouth, and they need to say it so people won't think that that's a vacation trip. And then if they decide at that point to do it, then they're on their own. But I think he did the right thing. I really do. That's just me. I think he did the right thing by bringing them home, because one of those families was mad when Brittany came home and her husband didn't
Paul
come
Wheeler.
Home. But Brittany thought that. But Brittany thought that she didn't even know he wasn't coming home with her. She said she didn't find out until later, and she was really upset about that. And she said she called his family and talked to them because she just didn't know that he wasn't coming with her.
Right. So, and we talked about that on the show. Russia, that was a part of the deal, and so the U.S. took what they had to take. And just to kind of clarify some of the things you said, there were 24 people involved in that release, and the person that you talked about that
really?
Was fast. Yeah, the person you talked about that was an assassin that assassinated someone. He's actually a Russian citizen. So
it was 24 United States people.
There were 24 people total. There were 24
total,
people.
From both sides. Okay.
And there were more than four. Four were the main ones, but there were 24 in total, and it involved seven nations.
This is where Biden and Jerome will probably, and you too will agree. Now, Les, you know, man, you'd be bumping heads sometimes, but this is where Biden's 30, 40 years of service and have made friends or good business partners with these other countries and places, this is where it has stepped in to be able to help, because if these other countries didn't like us, they wouldn't have been releasing those prisoners just for the United States to be able to get some of their people back. You understand what I'm saying? So Trump couldn't have never done that. He couldn't have never have had that kind of relationship with the other people and done that. He's the one that's on TV saying, he's a fool, he shouldn't have done that. I could have did it and didn't give him nobody. So, see, I think that he just did the right thing. I just did.
Willie lied because, first of all, he did. He did the exact same thing. And so he's a liar, and that's what he does. And so, you know, well, he's lying. I mean, and so people always talk about, oh, he just says that stuff because his people are going to eat it up. And what they really don't understand is that he's calling them stupid, because he knows that they're not going to go and look it up. They're
and
just
let me
going
tell
to
you
listen
something.
To what he has to say. Yes.
Let me tell you something. I'm over here in San Juan, and these people despise him. Okay? Now, I am in an airport with people that's flying in from all over the country and all different kind of languages and stuff, because we just left St. Kitts and St. Lucia and all these foreign islands and stuff. But I'm just telling you, the people over here, most of them despise Trump. They do.
Well, there you go. Well, and... Let
anyway.
Them know from all of us that they're not alone.
We do too.
Okay.
I did.
Let them know. All right.
I did.
Thank you. 347-850-1272. We'll step out, take a break. We'll be right back. Don't you go anywhere, folks. We still have a lot to talk about. We are here for you.
I want to be a contender. I want a warm belly to sleep on.
A big house.
How do I look? Do I look good?
I want to play hard.
My nails done. Once a month.
I want a home.
I just want a home. I want someone to love.
Last year, more than 30,000 companion animals came to us without homes. 20,000 of them were felines. Let's make some homes together.
I'm
Online radio at its best.
From the start of his presidency, Donald Trump heaped praise on Egyptian President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi, a man who just a few years earlier led the country's military to overthrow the democratically elected president from power. During one G7 summit trip, he even referred to Sisi as his, quote, favorite dictator. And while Trump may not have asked for Sisi's endorsement during his 2016 presidential campaign, bombshell reporting from the Washington Post revealed new details about one of the most closely held and secretive federal investigations into something else Sisi may have provided Trump in the waning days of that cash-strapped campaign. $10 million, which would be in clear violation of federal law that bans any U.S. candidates from taking foreign funds.
Welcome back in, 347-850-1272. It is 6 minutes after the top of the hour. And you're listening to The Serious Side of the J. Rowell Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TJRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. You know, here's the thing that I don't understand. That the Republicans in this do-nothing Congress, right, they are always trying to, you know, initiate investigations against, for example, Dr. Fauci and Hunter Biden and trying to impede President Biden. But not one damn one of them has initiated any inquiry about the money that Jared Kushner took, about the possible trademark controversy with Ivanka Trump. And now the Washington Post is reporting that Donald Trump received $10 million from Egypt during the waning days of his 2016 election, and that the Attorney General at the time, what that guy's name, Bill Barr, when he got wind of it, he put the kibosh on it. So someone explains to me as if I'm a third grader. Someone make this make sense for me. How can people break the damn law in broad daylight? Nothing happens. Donald Trump had foreign dignitaries staying at his hotel right down the damn street from the White House. And no one said nothing. But then all of a sudden, Hunter Biden in a laptop. Oh, Hunter Biden took money from someone. Come on, man. Someone talk to me. Mr. Elias, I'm turning to you as the person with the words of wisdom to talk me off the ledge. Explain to me how this can happen in broad daylight.
He said talk you off the ledge.
Explain to me how this can go down, Mr. Elias, and no one says nothing. Not one investigation. They had a secret investigation going on, and Bill Barr, the Attorney General, the top law enforcement officer in the country, said, let's put that away. Let this guy walk. Well, what the hell's going on? Make it make sense, Mr. Elias. Make it make sense.
You can't make sense out of no sense. So the bottom, my mom says you can't make sense out of nonsense. Look, the bottom line is this, man. You know damn well this man ain't going to go to jail. You know damn well all the things that everybody's making special provisions for him because he is the exalted leader. They are going to commit political death because guess what happens when you go against Donald Trump? You commit political death. And that's what these people are scared of. They're scared of losing their job. They're scared of losing a little bit of power that they do have. So they're not going to go against this guy. They're not going to do anything that says that Donald Trump did anything wrong. Once they speak out against it, you had a guy that drafted a border bill. And what happened to him? He never spoke out against Donald Trump at all, but he just drafted a border bill. They were talking about getting him out of office because he drafted a border bill for Biden to sign. So, dude, this is a cold game, and that's all it is a game. These people are playing a game, and they don't care how you think about it because there is no consequences for them. If there was consequences for them, they wouldn't they fall in line. But damn well, they dumbass voters are going to vote them back in office. They're not paying attention. They don't care to pay attention. So what are they going to do? They're so focused on whether it's a Democrat or Republican, they don't care if it's good or bad for them. All they know is what I see is bad for me, is good, is bad for you, so I'm going to hurt you. That's it. It's the bottom line.
So, okay, so my tippy toes are still on the ledge. So I backed up a little bit, Vanessa, but you need to get me off the ledge. Make it make sense for me, Vanessa. Make it make sense.
I can't help you with that because he had a whole lot of people that had to stay in that hotel. Remember they had some events and there was a military people that was there. Some of them slept on floors and all kind of stuff, but the big dignitaries to it stayed in his hotel. I don't understand why. You think about it. His son-in-law, all those millions of dollars he got, him and his wife, they don't even see her at anything that has his name on it because they got their money, honey, from Saudi, and they ran with it. You don't see anybody investigating them, do you? So, no, honey, I can't talk you off no bed. We all need to jump off that damn bed because he is crooked. He is crooked, crooked, crooked. He had people staying at his hotel for all kind of dignitary things that was going on at the White House. So, no, I can't talk you off the bed, honey, because I'm right there with you to jump off of.
Okay, that was not helpful at all. Thank you very much. Jerome.
Jerome.
Yep.
It's up to you, brother. It's up to you. I got my.
Well,
I don't have a parachute. Jerome.
Yeah,
you,
I think I'm.
Are you pushing me off?
I think I'm going to end up pushing you. Yeah.
That, oh, wow. Wow,
not
thanks, Jerome.
Being able to
thanks, Jerome. Thanks, Jerome.
Well, let me tell you this. So, and you can go back in archives on this. Bill Barr should be in jail. So Nixon's attorney general went to jail for all the obstruction that he did during the Nixon time. And Bill Barr, we knew this was going on real time. When he undercutted the, who's the head of FBI? Who got fired?
Comey. You talking about him?
Right.
Yeah, Comey, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when he undercutted him, and then he came out just before that report came out to say it was saying something that it didn't, we knew that he was obstructing. He was obstructing inside of his own department. They changed out the person who was running the Northern District, you know, in the Justice Department, and they knew he was obstructing. Bill Barr should be in jail. But the problem is that in this country, people, I don't know a good way to put this other than saying this, is that just because they want to give the impression that they're above board, they won't arrest criminals when they're actually in office. They don't like to do it. If you're lower level, they will, you know, bring charges against you. But that machine protects itself because the FBI, all of those folks are conservative.
Mm-hmm.
So they usually just go after black folks and everybody else who can't make a big, you know, stink about it. But they cover themselves. There is no way,
right.
Like you said, Ivanka should have been investigated. They were representing the United States when they're cutting deals with China. Kirchner should be. They were getting all that money from Saudi Arabia. The, you know, Trump was making money at his hotel while he was president. And nobody ever said, oh, you know what? We're going to fully investigate this because Jeff Sessions was there and Bill Barr was there. They were covering. So all of them should have been in jail. And here's my problem. Again, Merrick Garland is conservative. Should have brought and Obama appointed him because he thought conservatives would be okay with him. But if they would have got somebody in there that was, you know, a little bit more liberal or something, they would have been prosecuted. Put Letitia James in there. All of them be in jail.
Ooh, I like that. Do you think – hey, let me ask you something. Do you think she'll tap her to be the attorney general? If she wins?
That is interesting. Well, it depends if I don't trust Harris that much. But because she's going to be as neutral as Obama, she's probably going to be worse.
I don't
right?
know, man.
So I think
I don't think so.
I do. Don't let that Attorney General thing fool you, or whatever she was in California. Don't let that fool you. She played the fence. I think you heard Convena Man talk about that, right? She wanted to prosecute parents if their kids had truancy. We knew where that was going as black folks, that they would just prosecute the black kids. But she pushed that. You know, even though they never really got around to doing it, she was harder on black folks. Because education is not all that you think it's to be. It's not all that it's cracked up to be. And so if you put black folks in a system that is constantly trying to brainwash you and then they reject it, then you're going to call them what, evil? What are you going to say, you're not educated because you didn't go through this particular system? You know, Biden is doing a better job hyping up community colleges and trade schools because you can be a plumber and make a ton of money. You don't need to have a graduate degree from someplace, right? You were talking about making a living and having stable households. So when you talk about policies, your policies shouldn't be education heavy because they're technically brainwashing heavy if that's what we're going for. So I don't know. I don't trust her in that. But if there was somebody who was stronger at Attorney General and the Justice Department, because you have to remember the FBI will cover too. So, you know, there's a lot of overhauling to do, but I don't have any confidence in that. I think that we're talking about a pathology issue that is just it's not in our control. And I don't think we have a president that's that strong. Biden is the best president that we could have asked for. Because Biden don't give a rat. As a white man, he's like, black Supreme Court justice, got it, and I'm moving on. But everybody else has to play that role of, I need to appear to be neutral. White folks don't have that burden.
Let me ask you this, and any of you guys can answer this question. I'm just going to throw it out there. Why do you think the Democrats are not, why do you think, you know, you said something about Bill Barr, which makes all the sense in the world. It's obvious that this guy obstructed justice. Why is he not being brought up on charges? Because every attorney general in any state that does anything corrupt will be brought up on, you know, normally brought up on charges. So why is he not being brought up on charges?
Because Merrick Garland is conservative. So even though he's a Democrat and he was appointed, he's conservative. They're holding it down for the institution. What'd you say?
He's not a Democrat.
He's a Republican. Man, that was Republican, I thought.
Yeah, he's not a Democrat.
Right, but people keep thinking that he's Democrat because Obama wanted to appoint him to Supreme Court, but he did that to pacify conservative people.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. We never have any balance. It's like, hey, let's put somebody in a little less conservative, but conservative so that they can accept them. And they still didn't accept them. Well, why not just go all out the other way then, right? Biden did not say, hey, let's go get, you know, Supreme Court Justice Jackson and make sure she's kind of conservative so that they will accept. He did not care. He said, here's who I'm putting in. I'm putting them in. Obama went conservative. So when to pay him back, and I'm not saying this, you know, quoting anybody, but they made him attorney general because of the debacle on the Supreme Court stuff, but he's still conservative. I don't think we see this as a problem because we keep thinking, oh, it's Democrat and Republican, and that's an all-out, like, one side or the other, but that's not true. There's a lot of conservative Democrats that are, you know, just about holding down status quo. And it's kind of what I was saying about when we have things in the community, you'll find more racist people around black people than you kind of will find racist amongst just white people. Racist people will hang around black people because it is a superiority thing that they need. And I can't remember the guy's name who ran for governor in New York State, but he owned all of the Rite Aids, stores and, you know, pretty much in black communities across New York State. So he was milking them for cash, but he ain't like black people. Right, poverty pimps. So we all know that this stuff is going on. The problem is that you have to elect an official who does not give a rat's about holding down status quo so that they can do something different. And Kamala Harris is not that person. Now, she may be freer because she didn't have to run, you know, in primaries because then that would have shifted her out. But since she jumped to the front of the line, she may have a little bit more courage, but usually she pacifies, you know. And so, send your letters to Jay, too, by the way. I don't want to hear it, honestly.
Right. Well,
because
all right, so,
that's just an assessment. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let me go to you, Vanessa. Why do you think Bill Barr is not – why is he not being charged for obstruction of justice?
I don't know, because everybody else that's done anything for him has been went to jail. He's the only one having went to jail, so I got a feeling he's coming next. I really do. Everybody else that's went to jail but him. Everybody else, the old man who worked for the whole the family, Cohen, I mean, just all of them. He's the only one. And Giuliani is not in trouble, so it's like, you know what, he's the only one, but he looks high and he looks low, baby. He's going to get his too. You watch. You watch. They're going to get him to turn his back and his head on what that money that he knows it from. They're going to get him. I just believe that. But I have to tell y'all something to make y'all laugh real quick, because I'm not laughing. I'm really annoyed. I got a coffee here in San Juan that I don't like, a half of a sandwich. And you look at the picture, and I got a Coke. It was $25.
Oh, wow. There you go. There you go. All right.
Anyway.
Mr. Elias, why do you think Bill Barr is not why do you think he's not being charged? Why aren't the Democrats more active in trying to get this guy charged for obstruction of justice?
What's going to happen? Okay, what's going to happen? What they do? They got to send it to the House, the Senate, everything. Look, dude. Merrick Garland is a weak dude. Merrick Garland is definitely weak. He is who he is, man. And he's, you know why he's weak? I've been saying this for the longest, because he took so long to charge Trump and these criminal charges that we're going through an election season. So he's weak, and I've been saying it for and everybody's on my heart. He needs to have one of his eyes down and his teeth crossed. Nope, he's weak. He's real.
Right.
And that's the reason why Bill Barr is not being charged. He's weak.
Wow. That's quick and to the point. He's weak, and Bill Barr should be charged. All right, we're going to step out and take another break. 347-850-1272. And Vanessa just sent this picture. It's a well-spent $25, Vanessa. Spend the money, eat your food, and be happy. All right? Be happy. All right, we'll be right back after this. Don't you go anywhere. Welcome back in. 347-850-1272 is our call-in number. It is 28 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the Serious Side of the J-Rock Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TJRS Radio Network online radio. It's best. Of course, I'm Jay. Thank you. Good morning. And it's time to say good morning to my crew. Good morning, Vanessa. How are you?
Hey. How y'all doing?
Dang. Apparently we're not doing as good as you are, but thank you for making a way on the show, my lord. The man who is the smartest man in the world, the one and only Mr. Jerome is free. What's going on, Jerome? Man, good morning. I promise you, Jerome is here. I promise you. He's here. We'll say good morning for him. Good morning. Good morning, Jay. Good morning, Jerome. The man who gets the first and last word here on the Serious Side, the one and only Mr. L to the E to the S is in the house as well. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning to you. And Juan, good morning, Nessa. Juan, good morning, Momo B. Juan, good morning, Kathleen. Juan, good morning, Will D. Juan, good morning, Rich Sister. Juan, good morning, Larry the Music. A man of music. That first song was photographed by an alum of the show, Cy Smith. And the last song was Tina Marie, I Need Your Loving. And good morning, my brother Hawking. Good morning, my brother Jerome.
Deli S, man, can we say hello to some people in the chat room, if you don't mind, sir?
Our brother Covina, man's in there with us.
Ah, he needs to get rid of that Tesla. Get rid of it, man. Come on our side, brother. Come on our side. I want to say what's up to the pastor. What's happening, pastor? I want to say what's up to Caitlin, Mr. Haney. I remember that name from last week. Charles is in the house. Chris, Janae, so many people. Put your comments in. I'm going to start pulling comments after this segment. 4785012 72. Just to kind of follow up, people have been asking about, my situation. Obviously, I was out of town last week. I'm back at the home studio this week. Uncle's funeral, he had a full color military funeral burial on Monday. Just a very somber moment, but a proud moment. Finally laid to rest in the veterans military military cemetery in Mounds, Illinois, Mounds City to be exact. And rest easy, Uncle Carl. He did work here on earth. And we're proud of you. Just a beautiful ceremony. And it's always something when you have these funeral details. I used to be in charge of funeral details. And I think I told the experience of what happened to me one time. And if not, I'll definitely tell you at some point in time. I'm not going to go into it now because we don't have a lot of time. But anyway, I just wanted to, put a book in on what has been pretty much a profound, sad week for me and my family, but also a very proud week for me and my family because of the type of impact my uncle had on that community and on us. So that being said, let's get the party started and get into our Mr. Elias, man. I'm sorry, I didn't want to be rude. Anything you want to add or anything you want to say at all before I get to this next portion of the show?
No, I'm good, brother. I'm good right now. Besides my brother had a stroke and I'd like the people to pray for him. And I'll be flying out here next week to go see him. He lives in Las Vegas, so just pray for my brother.
Prayers to you, your brother, man. All right, let's get to it.
Online radio at its best.
So the momentum in this race is shifting. And there are signs that Donald Trump is feeling it. He had previously agreed to. So here's the thing. Here's the funny thing about that. So he won't debate. But he and his running mate sure seem to have a lot to say about me. And by the way, don't you find some of their stuff to just be plain weird? Because
consider to meet me on the debate stage? Because as the saying goes, if you got something to say,
if you got online radio at its best. Say it to my face. That was Vice President Kamala Harris at a campaign event in Atlanta, saying, if you have something to say, say it to my face. Now, since she has actually been the presumptive nominee, and now I do think she has enough of the delegate votes, so it's just a matter of it's all fundamental at this point. She will be the Democratic nominee for president for the Democratic Party. I've gone back and looked at a lot of her, some of those old YouTube videos, Vanessa, of her grilling people while she was in the Senate. I saw how she went after Bill Barr. I saw after how she jumped on the Republican senator who cut her off. I saw how she went at Kavanaugh. I think she's a tough cookie. I don't think – I really and truly believe – that people are going to be surprised by her strength. I think people are going to be surprised about how she's going to get straight to the point. And here's another fun fact for you. She raised $310 million in the month of July compared to Donald Trump's $150 million. And she was only in the race 10 days of the month. So the enthusiasm is there. You know, your thoughts on her, Vanessa, do you think she's going to pull this thing off in November? And who do you think is going to be her vice presidential pick?
Oh, wow. Okay, so when she said, say it to my face, I know those people on that cruise ship, on that deck that I was on, I know they heard me fall out. I know they heard me and Bobby hollering and screaming when she was talking trash because we just couldn't believe it. But you know what? He's scared of her. Number one, he is afraid of her. Number two, he called himself having his attorney go up and say, Kamala, whatever you want to say your name, I'm talking to you. That's what she said. I'm talking to you. So he's chicken. So he gets his female attorney to go and say something to Kamala. God, anybody, that VP ain't thinking about him. VP Harris ain't thinking about him. So you know what? I knew my gut told me that it was going to be good. My daughter said, Mama, wait and see who the VP is. But when I think, I don't want to misspeak. So Jerome, correct me if you're on or Jay. Any one of y'all. Was it Arizona's mayor who got on there in a Republican state and said, I think y'all need to vote for her rather than Trump because when he was in office, he didn't do anything for us. He didn't come and visit us. Yeah. That's what he said. And I said, you know what? That takes a strong, powerful person to go against his party openly for the world to hear him do it. And then to tell his people, I think y'all need to vote the other way. I just, you know, salute to that sister for getting that kind of respect across the board from people. Now, one of those, okay, y'all, what's the black professor from Harvard on MSNBC, long face, wears the eyeglasses? I think it was him that said, do not pick Shapiro. I would love for Jerome to tell me why he doesn't want her to pick him. I think
because he's Jewish. And some of the progressives in the party doesn't like his stance on Palestine.
Well, they doing TV commercials because I saw the people in his town doing TV commercials. They were running them on the cruise ship. I thought that was interesting that they were doing TV commercials for him. The next thing, which means to me, seems like to me they're trying to bully her into picking him. Do you know who I do like? Y'all probably going to shoot me through the phone. I like the astronaut, the one whose wife was shot.
Kelly, yeah, Mark Kelly, yeah. He's a part. It's down to three, basically, they're saying.
I really like him, and I like the California man. Gavin, is it Newsom?
Well, he's not.
Gavin?
Yeah, but he's not a part. He's not in the final four. He removed himself. And then he removed him, Greshner. What's her name? What's her name? The female. She removed herself from consideration. And I found out that the North Carolina, which is something that I thought, I thought maybe he did this. I thought that he removed himself from consideration because, you know, I just thought there was something, a complex there. But come to find out, the reason why he did it was because of the lieutenant governor.
Oh.
And he said, you know, no, we can't have this fool. The brother that's the lieutenant governor that stood up in church, Mr. Elias, and said that some people need to be shot and killed, pretty much.
Yes, he did. How long from the days when women women didn't vote? I like to go back to them days when women couldn't vote.
So I
need y'all to tell me who this was again, so I'll make sure. Who?
So, and Jerome, he also came out and said, basically, you know, and so North Carolina has this old archaic rule on the books that says when the governor is not, you know, is not available, then the lieutenant governor assumes the roles. And this guy can sign bills and do all types of stuff. So they were like,
his name is Mark Robinson.
Mark Robinson.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
Most states are like that. When Cuomo was out of there, it was the lieutenant governor who's now the governor. She came in from the lieutenant governor spot. But I don't, you know what I don't understand? I don't understand, and I know people use this word very loosely.
Yeah.
I don't understand people's, like, misogyny against women. I never understood it, but I think it's a cultural thing more than anything else. Like, it's always been like that in most European countries for some reason, but they're really hard on women. I never understood it, and it seems like people are getting really confident in saying that stuff out loud. It's weird. They're like, you know, and even from whoever, J.D. Vance and those guys, have been like women to be back in the kitchen and blah. I'm like, what the heck is going on? But I guess they've been keeping that quiet for a while and secretly hating on women, and that's why. Even with women, and I've done a lot of women races, it is why it's so hard for women to run and stop blaming black men for being misogynistic, because that's not a thing. What happens is that there are people who feel some kind of way, and it's mostly in other communities, that oppression of women is just a standard. That's why when, you know, the women's suffrage movement with, you know, Harriet Tubman and Sojourner Truth and those guys joining it, after they got, but so far, the white women kicked the black women out. You know, Susan B. Anthony, Elizabeth Cady Stanton, they kicked them out. And then when they started Miss Magazine, Gloria Steinem said this, it was the Black Panther women who helped build that magazine. Once that magazine got rolling, then white women came out and was like, oh, okay, we got this. So I don't know what white women are fighting with white men with this kind of stuff, but it seems to be getting worse, their attitude towards women. It's weird. I don't know. But,
no,
yeah.
I don't know.
It's a weird thing to me. That level of, you know, at the governor's level of saying, hey, we need to, you know, put women in the kitchen kind of stuff. That stuff is crazy.
Yeah. So while you have the mic, so your thoughts, you know, do you think she can pull this thing off? And, you know, who should she pick for her VP if you were her?
It's difficult. It's really difficult to see who she can pick that she's not going to take a gabillion hits with. Like, she's going to take some hits. This is probably, you know, most of the time they say it's the most important decision that you can make as a candidate, who your VP is. But, again, she's not vetted the same because she didn't have to run for long periods of time to test the water. Right. This is like stuff by shotgun. And you can't put a person like Mark Kelly in there because if you get, like, really new people, then, you know, they're not vetted. So you have to just kind of, for her, since she's new, it's like Obama getting Biden, right? You want to get somebody who has the experience, who, you know, who solidifies your ticket. And she's going to have to get somebody who is, who has a ton of experience, and it cannot be another female, and it should not be a person of color.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I agree with you on that.
Well, yeah.
No, I agree.
I think you're too.
Yeah, I don't. And it can't be Pete Buttigieg that I'm not. I don't have anything against gay people, but it just can't be. We have to be smart about this.
Yeah, you can't just take the risk.
Yeah, yeah, that's just too much for risk. And I also believe that her jumping in the race at the end, I think it's advantageous for her too. And I'll explain that a little later on. All right, 347-850-1272. We got one more segment. You can come right back and comment on this. We'll step out, take a real quick break, and we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Oh, those boys are much too much. Those boys are much too much.
We got the spirit. We're hot. We can't be stopped. We got the spirit. We're hot. We can't be stopped. We're going to beat them and bust them. Beat them.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life.
A little bit rowdy. R-O-W-D-Y.
Take time to be a dad
One more
today.
Time. Those boys are much too much.
Online radio at its best.
The red flags and warning signs were there prior to Deputy Grayson firing those fatal shots into Sonia Massey.
I'm trying to get help.
A woman home alone who called police for help over a possible intruder, but instead ended up with Deputy Sean Grayson.
Do what?
Grayson, who's now charged with her murder, had a troubled career that began with a stint in the Army, a discharge for misconduct, then followed by more accusations of misconduct.
We checked your front yard.
During his time in law enforcement, described as having trouble obeying orders.
We're at the end of 2nd Street. She's taking it out right.
Like with what happened here at his 5th police job when he refused an order by a superior at the Logan County Sheriff's Department to terminate a high-speed chase over a traffic infraction. His speed at times reaching 110 miles per hour.
Are you pursuing?
I'm about to terminate. She's flying up 121 right now.
But Grayson didn't stop. He did, however, turn off his lights and siren, but kept going anyways until he hit a deer.
Well, I'll definitely be terminated because a buck just smacked the side of my driver's side door.
Did you violate a direct order from a supervisor about termination?
Yes, it is.
Grayson was questioned by a deputy chief and other top staff after that crash in Logan County.
Do you agree, before we conclude this, that there is a mountain of policy violations that you committed? 7 months on, how are you still employed by us?
I don't know.
Yet he continued to get a pass over and over again. Even during the Logan County hiring process of Grayson, there were warning signs from another past employer, the Auburn, Illinois Police Department, where he worked in 2022. CBS News obtained these notes from a discussion between the Auburn chief and a representative from Logan County, where Grayson had applied for a new job. It states the Auburn chief said Grayson struggles with report writing, that he was very aggressive with getting drugs. The chief expressed concern that Grayson was too aggressive and that Grayson posted his drug arrest on Facebook, and the chief called him a bragger and was not great with evidence, left items laying around office.
The entire thing makes me sick.
Sangamon County board member Mark Ayers is on the jail committee that authorizes the hiring of new sheriff deputies. He says he was never informed of any negative notes about Grayson prior to hire, and his background was not shared with the committee.
I would never bring on someone that had that troubled past or that record.
Welcome back in. Real quick, I wanted to have a quick conversation with the update and just give you guys an opportunity to kind of comment on this. We have a few minutes before we have to step out and take our break of the morning. Just real quick, and I'll just go around the table real quick. Vanessa, this guy was, you know, he was a part of 5 different police departments. And, you know, once again, he was hired by this particular police department, deputy sheriff's office. The sheriff is not going to resign, saying that he didn't know that these red flags were out there. But to just give me some real quick thoughts on what you just heard in the 30 seconds. We'll give each of you 30 seconds to comment on that.
Go to the next one, Jay, because I was at the counter. Go to the next one, then I can
all right, no problem.
Story.
That's all right. We'll bring it back. All right, Jerome, just real quick, man, just wanted to give an update to the people as far as more information has come out about this deputy, and just some quick words on this whole situation.
Yeah, I want to say this because we talked about Attorney General Barr and why people don't prosecute white folks, especially white males, when they do wrong.
Mm.
This is kind of a lower level of that. And they could have found their way to do that, but they keep forgiving, you know, even people who commit, like, horrible crimes and keep letting them back on the force. And that's something that, you know, we need to deal with as a society.
You're right about that. You know, Mr. Elias, the chilling part of that conversation is when that deputy or his supervisor asked him, you know, you've been violating, and I'm paraphrasing here, you've been violating all these policies. Why are you still employed with us? And his response was, I don't know. Your thoughts here real quick before we wrap it up.
Bottom line, this guy should have been fired from the very beginning. He should have never been on the police force. He should have been fired once he violated the policy and got hit by that deer. So the bottom line is, they told him to terminate. He wouldn't terminate. Now, Sergeant Masters lost her life over this. So this deputy should definitely step down. I mean, the sheriff, he should never be in office ever again in life.
Good point. We'll be right back after this.
The government of Bangladesh Prime Minister Sheikh Hasina is imposing a nationwide curfew following fresh clashes this weekend between protesters and police. At least 27 people reported dead, scores injured, as police used tear gas and stun grenades to disperse the demonstrators. The protests are being led by students who are calling for Hasina to step down. They began last month. The South Korean sharpshooter competing at the Olympics is being hailed as a style icon on social media. NPR's Chloe Veltman reports that commentators are responding to both her outfits and her body language.
Images of Kim Yeji circulating online highlight the 31-year-old athlete's razor-sharp looks and icy calm demeanor. In a TikTok video, fashion commentator Style by Kevin describes her as having an infinite aura.
She's definitely won our hearts on the runway.
Kim's style is decidedly casual, at least on the range. She sports baseball caps, sometimes with the bill turned backwards, baggy tracksuits and blocky sneakers. The monochrome color palette of her clothing, coupled with the Olympic sharpshooter's intense gaze and focused stance, tell a different story. It's one that wouldn't seem out of place in a sci-fi or action movie. On social media, film industry commentator Del Walker says Kim possesses, quote, the most main character energy he's ever seen in his life. Chloe Veltman, NPR News.
Today is the middle Sunday of the Paris Olympic Games, and it features the much-anticipated men's 100-meter dash final. The competition for the fastest man alive features Team USA's Noah Lyles. I'm Giles Snyder. This is NPR News.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Capella University. Capella's programs teach skills relevant to your career, so you can apply what you learn right away. See how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.
Welcome back. 347-850-1272. It is time for Pastor Steve State Your Case, where we read comments from our world-famous chat room and from social media sites that we monitor throughout the course of the show. Mr. Elias, man, do you have anything from the chat room?
No, I do not.
All right, well, I have some here. Let's go ahead and read them. This is good. Pastor Steve, peace and blessings, family. He says, as a man of the cloth, I preach the gospel. I promote peace and encourage Christians to embrace their faith and trust in God. However, what is this, Pastor? What is he saying? However, I'm sorry, I'm losing it. However, the J and Mr. L.E.S., Pastor, I can't pull the rest of it up. I'm sorry. Apparently, he must have had something to say about me and you. All right, Pastor, we get it. I'm sorry. I can't pull the rest of the message up. All right, I have another one here. Mary B. from Carrollton, Texas. I agree with Jerome. Bill Barr should be tried for treason and placed in federal custody. Damn. All right, here's one. Tarina from Dallas, Texas. Good morning. Every week, this brother always has something negative to say about Kamala. You don't trust her? Whose side are you on? Okay, I'm pretty sure he'll respond to you, lady. Patricia from Indianapolis, Indiana. Hey, the Ivory Queen, Lady T. That was my jam. Any 60 babies in the house? Y'all made my day. Thank you. No problem. Janae from Cleveland, Ohio. Wait, so the brother who hated Kamala is now calling out others for oppressing women? Talk about calling the kettle black. Give me a break. Damn. You're going to respond to you too, Janae. Mr. Haney from Detroit, Michigan. I agree with Jay. Jumping into the race this late means that she can sprint to the finish line riding this wave of excitement. 2008 all over again. Let me see, can I get one more in here? All right, here's one. Dietra from Houston, Texas. Jay, you should be ashamed of yourself. You ran Momo B off the show, LOL. I didn't run Momo B off the show. Dietra, stop spreading lies. Liar, liar. Pants on damn fire. And on that note.
Online radio at its best.
Folks, it is time for our final thoughts. It's been a great show. And Vanessa, Big Sis, you're up first. Final thoughts.
Peace and blessings, everybody. I got a good feeling about our VP. I really do. I think this world is going to come together because they're finally seeing somebody's true colors. And I had a really good trip going to see my people on all those different islands. So St. Kitts and St. Lucia and all those places was just beautiful, beautiful black people, and I was just really tickled to see them. So other than that, they're having a storm, and a lot of flights are delayed, but thank God mine isn't. So I'm on my way back to H-Town, and I am grateful to be on the show, last part of the show with you guys. I love you all, Jerome, Les, Jay, Momo B. I really appreciate all of y'all being in my world. I really do.
Oh, wow, look at you. Making us blush.
Y'all
thank
world.
You. Oh, there you go. There it is. Thank you very, very much. The smartest man in the world, Mr. Jerome Freeman, final thoughts?
Man, I wish I could address all of those comments, but here's what I will say about those. So, you know, when you're talking about, like, you're not supposed to be some kind of sick fan of somebody. Kamala's going to win. I'm going to vote for her. Not that big of a deal, but when you are doing assessment, you don't act like none of this stuff exists. So get your heads out of your butt. I'm sure everybody wants to win, but don't come at me acting like I am going against her because she's black or something. If it was any woman running, I would probably say what I'm saying. She does not have the experience to run, but since she jumped to the front of the line, good luck to her. But I am not a fan of any of this stuff. So I am doing assessment. So if you want to say something, fine, and I will address it, but... Yeah, don't go there with that, because that shows that you're hanging for low-hanging fruit when you're calling males misogynistic because they criticize a woman.
But
don't
hand
mean
up, don't hand up, hand up. I just want to know why you think she's not qualified when she's had all of those different positions to work. How do you feel like she's not more qualified?
I'm not saying she's not qualified. Yes, I did not say that. I'm saying, I'm saying, that people are hearing what they're hearing because they think that actually – having something to say about her is criticizing her credentials or the way that she needs to be there. All I was saying was her experience in running for office, she didn't have
in
the front of the line. So this is a different ball game. This is a different ball game. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, like I said, the idiosyncrasies in that actually kills me when folks come at that like somebody's taking a personal shot at her. They're in their feelings because they're not thinking. Pull back a little bit. Don't nobody hate y'all.
All right, Tarana from Dallas, Texas, and Janae from Cleveland, Ohio. Here's to you. Right up, Mr. LES, man.
So I agree with the young lady about you running Momo B off. I really hate that you did that.
You know what?
You know, I'm in the chat room, but she didn't raise her hand up. Hey, man, can I finish my thoughts first? Before you jump in here?
I didn't say nothing. I just sorry.
Yeah, you did. You lied. But I agree with how you ran one more view on body with your condescending comments last week. But I digress. Look, get out and vote, folks. If you don't get out and vote, you're going to have a voice. But hey, one more view here is for you. Love you, baby. That's me. That ain't Jay saying that. But I digress.
My final thoughts are, haters come in all shapes, colors, and sizes. Even though you may be in the trenches with a hater, if they're a hater at heart, they are a hater at heart. I'm not talking about anybody in particular, but I'm just saying this, that Momo Beezy, first of all, Momo said to tell everybody she's here. Momo Beezy knows that she can come in here anytime she wants. She is our assist. She is one of the trustees of this show and this network. And Momo B can have this platform at any given time. We respect Momo B. If she didn't raise her hand, then she didn't want to come in. So that's what the dealio is. So despite the hater that's breathing and grunting on the other end, Momo Beezy can come in here at any given time she wants. Okay. And for all you ladies, listen, can I finish my thoughts, Mr. Grumpy? So now, for all you ladies out there, y'all know Mr. Elias and Jerome coming after me, but I'm going to come on Jerome's side. Jerome never said that she wasn't qualified. Jerome is, what he said is true. He's given his assessment. And if we want to talk about equal rights for everybody, when we criticize guys, I don't see a bunch of messages coming here saying, oh, why are you jumping on a fellow king? At the bottom line, she's in the arena. When she's in the arena, she has to be able to take the criticism just like everybody else. And on that note, Mr. L to the E to the S, if it's Sunday and we're talking serious stuff, time is my friend.
It's time for the serious side of the J. Rowe Show. And to all the ladies, I just want to let y'all know the U.S. Olympic team is up against Germany 29-41 as we speak.
So for Mr. Elias, for Vanessa, and for Jerome, I'm J. Rowe saying have a wonderful work week. And remember, if it's Sunday and we're talking serious stuff, it is the serious side. J. Ross, we'll see y'all next week.
Jesus.
Happy birthday. Happy.
Hey, yeah, happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Online radio at its best. Online radio at its best.
Hey, 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 good morning.
If you're ready, map of the South.
Let's do this.
I'm telling you, I am first very honored that you would join me tonight.
He has a very limited time slot, so we want to bring in Mr. Alan Sarrell right away.
Hey, how are you, Kathleen?
You know what? I'm going to make you do what it do, baby.
Man, what's crack-a-lackin', baby? What's crack-a-lackin'?
It's time for the serious side of the J. Rowe Show.
Don't try to call me out, princess. You can take your love and true purpose and stick it. She's a bitch.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.